The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And last week we read from Galatians chapter 5. You can turn there. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And I want to commend Pastor Chris for memorizing those this morning. I think, yeah, did you do that? Yeah, that was good. Absolutely, good job. Fruit of the Spirit, it's so important in our life. One of the things that we talked last week as I got started on this message, I talked about two important things about the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, has a lot of different flavors. It's fruit salad, if you will. And it's, you don't have one without the other. You know, you can't have love and not have joy and peace and all the other parts of the of that fruit, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. The thing that causes you to have the fruit in your life is the Spirit, and it's His fruit. So what we always must understand is that it's not something that I can self-will to have in my life. These things are not something I can conjure up. I can't work hard to walk in love. I can't work hard to have joy and peace and gentleness and all these things. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give me these gifts in my life, these fruits in my life. They're fruits of the Spirit. This is extremely important that we understand. Now, here's something that happens in our lives. It is that we have the control over these fruits of the Spirit based on our desire and our ability to draw close to the Lord. Closer we are to the Holy Spirit, to our Heavenly Father, the more the manifestation of those fruit, of the fruit will be in our life. And we'll walk in it. But here's the thing. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, to stir up the gift that was given to you in laying on hands. I believe he was talking about the Holy Spirit and the other gifts that come along with it when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit in your life. He said, stir those things up. What he was telling Timothy was that the reality is that if you're not careful, you let that just grow dormant in your life. It has to be stirred up. In Ephesians 5, I believe it's 5:18, he speaks about not to be drunk with wine, because that creates problems, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the connotation there is, as you read that he's just like you can be drunk with wine and you feel the effects of that wine and it fades away, that you must continually be coming back to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to be filled with you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit over and over and over. It's not like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to stir it up. It's like anything else in our life. Unless we keep it stirred up and keep it alive, it dissipates. So these fruit of the Spirit and this fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us will not manifest and take control of our lives unless we get close to God and we stir up the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's what happens. I know when I'm not praying and I'm not seeking God like I should, I know that because that's when my flesh starts acting out. That's when I get angry a lot more often. I become frustrated. It's easy to walk in unforgiveness toward people because I've allowed my flesh to take control instead of the Spirit. So we have to realize this is a heart issue that I'm talking about. You understand? And if these things are not manifested in your life, you need to examine yourself. We all do. Every day we need to examine ourselves and say, okay, do I have love, joy, peace, and all these other gifts in my life? Today we're going to talk about joy and peace. Joy and peace is an extremely important part of the Christian walk. Because I want to tell you, as you all know, every one of us knows, that there's going to be storms, there's going to be giants, there's going to be issues in your life where you need to have supernatural joy and supernatural peace. Amen? I'm not talking about joy or happiness that you can conjure up or that makes you feel good. I'm talking about something that is supernatural in its origin. So today we're going to start talking about joy. In the Greek word, chara, is derived from another Greek word, charis, which rendered in English is grace. This is an important part. We need to note this because it tells us that joy is produced by the charis, the grace of God. And that's exactly what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. That's what the writer of Galatians is trying to tell us. Joy is not on the same emotional level as happiness. How many have felt happiness? You've been happy. Happy, happy, happy. Yeah. Amen. And how many know that happiness fades away? You can be happy. I'm telling you, on one hand, I can be happy about something, and one minute, and the next minute, that I just come crashing down because of an event or something that's happened. Happiness usually is stirred from some kind of external happening by somebody you talk to, somebody that says something nice to you, something you've received, something you've done, that those kind of, it's an emotion that we have that goes along with our life. Now, that can be joyful. That can be an expression. You can express joy when you're happy. But it's not the kind of joy that we're talking about this morning. Because the kind of joy that we're talking about remains in our life no matter what is taking place. We can walk in that kind of joy, in the joy of the Holy Ghost, as Paul said. Joy of the Holy Spirit in our life. If we recognize that the joy is not happiness that is stirred by your emotions. When I get an emotional happy, it's wonderful. I like it. We need to get emotionally happy in here when we worship God. But that's not the joy of the Lord we're talking about. It's an emotion that is stirred by coming into the presence of God. And I like it when we get happy. Do you want to be happy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure we do. We like it. We enjoy basking in the emotion of being happy and excited. Because, you know, we're talking about something that is totally external. It's based on a circumstantial situation, pleasure, merriment, and exuberance, and excitement. And we've all felt it, and it's a good thing. I'm not telling you not to feel it. You see, in the body of Christ for way too long, particularly in our circles, we have relegated worship of God to a calm, quiet, peaceful worship where you show great reverence before the Lord. Very seldom in the Bible do you see that as worship. It's there. It's supposed to be a part of worship. But it's not the primary way of worshiping God. The primary way of worshiping God is to worship Him with your body. With your arms, with your voice, with your legs. If you can do a dance, I'm not even going to embarrass myself by trying. With your whole being, worship the Lord. And you worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's just part of worshiping the living God. That's the primary way that you see in Scripture to worship God. David was a great psalmist. And David was one of the first ones to implement worship in the temple. And his worship was not just a reverent, holy kind of worship. It was an exuberant, exciting worship. People came to that temple expecting to worship God in spirit and in truth and raise their hands and dance before the Lord and be excited because it was part of their worship. They understood worship. Now, I understand that our culture sometimes gets in the way of our worship. And when your culture gets in the way of your worship, you know what you need to do? Kill the culture.
That's right. That's right.
The culture is, it's stifling us. We need to release ourselves before the Lord. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right. Now, here's the thing about just happiness or something that brings us joy because through external circumstance. And that is that, you know, we can be high one moment and low the next. We can be riding that wave and come crashing down. Be on that mountaintop and be in the valley the next moment. All it takes is a flat tire, right? On Sunday morning or Monday morning. Doesn't matter. A negative word from a family member, that'll bring you down. A harsh word from your boss. Rejection from somebody. Maybe even, you know, something that would bring me down if I had it was a teenager's cell phone bill. That could bring you down pretty quick. I don't have to worry about that in my household, but some of you may. There's all kinds of things that'll bring you crashing down if all you have is the emotion. But if you have the joy of the Lord, you can walk with stability. You can walk with an even keel. Things that in life do not cause you to go up and down on an emotional roller coaster. The joy that Kara is unaffected by outward circumstances. In fact, it seems to grow stronger in times of extreme pressure. That's the power of God. Now, here's something that we need to recognize when it comes to knowing that we're going to encounter difficult things in our lives. How many encounter things on a weekly basis? Things that you have to deal with. Yeah, absolutely. We all do. Now, here's what I want us to understand. If we're not careful, we will subscribe those things specifically to the enemy. Everything that happens in our life, well, the devil did that. Devil did that to me. Devil did that. You know, because you have a flat tire on Monday morning doesn't mean that the devil gave you a flat tire. I want you to recognize that not everything that's happening in your life is the devil. Now, there are some things that the devil is doing. He's trying to stop you. There is no doubt about it. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Absolutely. But some of the things that happen in our life are just life. And life sometimes sucks. It's not fun. It's difficult. But we need to learn, like the Apostle Paul was able to learn, to be content in all things. That's what he told us. Just be content. Know the joy of the Lord, no matter what happens. You know, in the past, if I came out with in the Monday morning with a flat tire, I might throw a wrench through my windshield. That'd really help, wouldn't it? Anger, frustration. We got to let the Lord have control of our life. Keep us on that even keel. Seek the face of God. Our supernatural, we must have a supernatural response to every situation, regardless of whether it is a demonic attack or just a life lesson that we're going through. A lot of people allow themselves to get off track, thinking that the devil is chasing after them all the time. You get to the point where you begin to see that demons behind every door if you're not careful. Demons are real. I believe they're real. I know they're trying to attack God's people. But let's look at this situation from a reality perspective according to the Word of God. Jesus said he defeated them. He overcame them. The blood of the Lamb was enough to stop them. They're still trying to get into your life, and they're still trying to destroy you. They're still trying to do all kinds of things in your life. But guess what? You have victory in Jesus' name. You are above and not beneath. You are able. But what we need to recognize is that sometimes we allow ourselves to be separated from our God. God is always in the same place. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But we sometimes, we just kind of fade away from God sometimes. We're not getting close enough to Him. I'll tell you what we need to stop doing. We need to stop looking for the devil and everything, and we need to start looking for God in His Word and in our prayer closet. Amen? When you draw close to God, the Word's very clear. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So the first thing is to draw close to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Paul is telling the Thessalonians that their affliction that came upon them, they were able to endure it because they had the joy of the Holy Spirit. Not external joy. Not something that they had to conjure up, but joy of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word rendered here affliction is thlipsis. It was first used to describe specific kind of torture where they would take a man, tie him up, lay him on the ground, and then several men would go get a huge boulder, bring it over, and lay it on top of him and watch him as that boulder slowly crushed his body. Tremendous pressure. That's what Paul is saying to them. You have gone through tremendous pressure in your life, and you were able to do it because you had the joy of the Holy Spirit. You relied on the Spirit of God, not on external things. The Spirit inside every believer enables us to endure incredible pressure. In Acts chapter 16, is the story about Paul and Silas gone to Philippian. And they were preaching the Word of God. And as they preached the Word of God, they were jailed for doing so. Prison. Beaten and put in prison. And not only were they put in prison, but it says that they were put in the inner prison. That means that they were put in the deepest, darkest, dampest, nastiest place in the prison. And the best place in those prisons would not have been a good place to be. Nobody really wants to be in the best prison in the United States, right? Any of you want, you just like to go to the best prison? No, we don't want to be there. This was the worst of the worst. They were put down in this deep, dark place. And what did they do? Around midnight, they started singing praises to God. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you really believe that the Apostle Paul and Silas felt like singing praises to God? They were beaten. They were bruised. They were in pain. They were probably hungry. They were cold. It was damp and dark. And what did they do? They praised the living God. Not because their emotions stirred them, but because they had joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Spirit. That's the place that we have to come to, believers. That where we can recognize the joy stirred inside of us from the Holy Spirit. Not because we're trying to seek some external means of joy. Hallelujah. Here's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Now, he had a right to say that to them because it was in their jail that he was rejoicing. And he was in prison when he wrote this to them. Rejoice all the time, regardless of your circumstance, he says. The next thing we're going to talk about is peace. Peace is irene, the Greek word, harmony, tranquility. But there's a Hebrew word that is its counterpart in the Old Testament, and that is shalom. And shalom expresses an idea of wholeness, completeness, tranquility of the soul, that it's unaffected by outward circumstances. And that's exactly what we're talking about. It's the peace of God. When a person is supernaturally controlled by peace, irene, they have a calm inner stability that enables them to go through any and every situation. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ. Now, there's something interesting here. It causes you to go back. If you do this, do what? Well, you have to go back to Philippians 4 through 6, if you turn there with me real quick. I just quoted Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here's what he's saying. He's saying there's three things that you need to do. If you do these three things. Got to get that little finger down. Three things. Number one, rejoice in the Lord through all things. Be glad. Be delighted in every situation. He's saying absolutely, it doesn't matter what the circumstances is. Rejoice in the Lord. Give Him glory and honor. Number two, be gentle to all. Be considerate. Be kind to other people. That's a fruit that is coming forth out of your life. Number three, the third thing, do not be anxious. Don't worry. Don't have anxiety. Do not be concerned with the situations and the things that are happening around you or even to you. Your God is in control. In Acts chapter 23 through 28, the Apostle Paul is at the end of his ministry. He just has a few years left. Of course, he doesn't know that at this time. He probably suspects it. But he goes to Jerusalem. Now, here's something I want you to understand, that when Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He knew what was going to happen to him because a prophet told him what was going to happen to him. Told him that he was going to be bound and he was going to be turned over to the authorities. He went to Jerusalem knowing exactly what was going to happen. Now, sometimes God tells us things and warns us of things, not so that we will avoid them, but so that we'll know what's going on, what's happening in our future. It was God's will for him to go there. All the things that happened to Paul from there on out was God's will. And they were incredible things. Difficult times to Paul. He went before the Sanhedrin. The governor was called that lived in Caesarea. Caesarea was the place where the governor lived. The governor came and saw Paul and then talked to Paul. And he found out by talking to Paul that Paul had really done nothing wrong. He was accused of sedition, of rabble-rousing, trying to stir up the people in Jerusalem, but he had done nothing wrong. And after Felix talked to him, he realized that Paul hadn't done anything wrong. But he wanted to please the Jews, so he put Paul in his prison for 2 years. Now listen, I'm trying to speak to you about a man who taught us that we need to have love, joy, peace, and all these fruit of our spirit, and how he endured all the things that he went through. He had joy and peace even though he was put in that prison. Now, he did have favor with these people because they allowed him to have visitors and people come and minister to him. But he sat in that jail for 2 years. Nothing happened. And then a new governor, Festus, took over. And when he came in, the Jews decided, well, we'll use Festus to get to Paul. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to have Festus send Paul to Jerusalem. And when he's on his way, we're going to kill him, get rid of him. They hated Paul. They hated Paul for what he stood for, because he stood for the love of God. And Paul, he came before Festus, and Festus said, are you willing to go to Jerusalem to be judged? And Paul knew that would be a death sentence. Paul was a wise man. He said, oh, no, I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar. And Festus said, all right, to Caesar you shall go. And that set Paul on an incredible journey during this period of time in his life. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he was getting up in years. It was a tough, tough time for the Apostle Paul. He was turned over to a centurion who took him and someone else that was with them. And they began on a journey from Caesarea. They were on their way to Rome. But because of the time of year, the weather was difficult. And they had to hug the coast all the way around rather than just a straight shot to Rome. They had to hug the coast, and the winds kept blowing them around. And they finally made it to the Isle of Crete. And then when they were at Crete, they decided that they were going to go on from the fair port, port that they were in, just a few hundred miles down the coast to another port where they could stay for the winter. And the weather seemed to change. The sky turned blue and everything was calmed, and it seemed like it was wonderful. And Paul said to the centurion and to everyone, he said, listen, this is the wrong time of year for us to be out there in a ship. We're going to die. The ship's going to be torn apart, and we will die. Well, Paul was a prisoner. Who was going to listen to him? Ship's master said, let's go. And no sooner did they get out on the sea. They were in the Mediterranean Sea. And a huge storm came up. And I mean a huge storm, because it was a typhoon, is what most Bible scholars believe took place. A huge typhoon. Now, I didn't know this, but the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane is just the place that it's in. Typhoon is in the Western Pacific. Tornadoes or hurricanes are in the Atlantic and Eastern Pacific. That's just the difference. So what we're talking about is a hurricane. And it must have been of tremendous proportions, because it took this boat, this ship, and it tossed it around for days and days. They were down inside the hull of that ship just praying to be delivered. There wasn't any sunshine. It was dark. It was a horrible time. But yet the Apostle Paul maintained his peace throughout this whole time. Now here's how he had peace in this situation. First of all, the Apostle Paul knew that God had his hand on him. But the Holy Spirit spoke, or not just the Holy Spirit, an angel actually came and spoke to the Apostle Paul. I want you to understand something. Sometimes God knows that we need just a little extra to walk in the peace of God. And that's what he did for the Apostle Paul here. He gave him that little extra by sending an angel to him. And that angel told him, no one's going to die. Stay with the ship. We're going to get you safely on an island. And he told everybody that. He rose up and he said, listen, God, an angel appeared to me and he told me what was going to happen. And sure enough, they went through that horrible storm. They were beat around. They were stuck on a sandbar just right outside of the island of Malta. And of course, the Holy Spirit had told Paul, everybody needs to stay with the ship. Well, a couple guys thought, well, we're going to take this lifeboat, and we're going to go check out the boat to make sure it's all right. But what they really had in mind was they were going to get away. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, if you do that, you'll die. So the centurion and the other members of the ship cut the ropes on the boat. And it, you know, that was their lifeboat. But they were listening to the Spirit of God. Sometimes in our life, the situation or the lifeboat that appears to be our rescue is really the thing that will take us in the wrong direction. It will kill you. It'll destroy you. That's why we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, not what our mind or our logic says. Logic will tell you to get all you can. Can all you get. Sit on the can. Right? But God says, give, and it will be given unto you. God says, share. Give it away. It's a different philosophy. They ended up on the island of Malta. Everyone, 260-some, I believe, over 200 people. Every one of them lived. God promised they would, and they did. But here's what happened. The Apostle Paul was gathering. These were kind people on the island of Malta, good people. They took good care of them. It said they showed them kindness. And the Apostle Paul was out gathering up sticks to build a fire. And what happens? A viper attaches itself to his hand. Now, this was a very poisonous snake. He should have died within minutes, at the most hours. How did the Apostle Paul handle that? He didn't run around screaming, I've been bitten by a snake. Oh, I'm going to die. He shook it off. He was walking with the peace of God in his life no matter what happened to him. In this particular situation, Paul knew that he was not going to die until God was done with him. And if he was going to die with that snake bite, so what? But God had control of that situation. The Apostle Paul just shook that thing off. And the natives of that of Malta watched in amazement because he didn't swell up and die. At first they said, when he got bit by the snake, they said, oh, he's an evil murderer and God has brought justice. And then after he didn't die, they said, oh no, he's a god. Boy, how people change their minds. I can identify with that as a pastor. Oh, I love you, pastor. I'll be here forever. Turn my back and man, they're gone. Out the door. God sent me here. Well, then the devil took you out. I hear these things. You know, come on. We're not going to let that stop us. We're going to keep moving forward. But I want you to understand how people change. They're fickle back and forth. The Apostle Paul was even keel. He understood that God had brought him through every situation, that there was always an opportunity for ministry. And on the Isle of Malta, he was able to minister to these people. In fact, it leads us to believe that everyone on the island received Christ as a personal Savior. What a change. What a change. Paul was on his way to be imprisoned in Rome. And his idea was not to worry about, or his thoughts were not to worry about the imprisonment. His thoughts were to minister to every person he could possibly minister to. What a man. I want to be like the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
You know, many times we look in the scripture and we see the Apostle Paul. There aren't very many people that say, I want to be like the Apostle Paul, because nobody wants to go through the things the Apostle Paul went through. He was beaten, I think he said 3 times, shipwrecked 3 or 4 times, went through all kinds of harassment. He was stoned and they thought he was dead, bleeding and battered. And he came back up and went right back in and started ministering to those people. That's the kind of spirit we need to have in us. Because I believe it's a Christ-like spirit. I believe it's an understanding of being led by the Spirit and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow inside of us. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Talked about love last week. How important love is. It's the principal thing, the Word of God says. It's the most important thing, is to walk in love. Because if you walk in love, I believe you will manifest peace and joy and gentleness, goodness, kindness, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Let us love one another. Most important. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, today we just thank you for your love. And I ask, Lord God, that, you know, if there's anyone in here that is not, that feels like they've just kind of allowed themselves to move away from your power and your Spirit, that the Spirit's not controlling their life, they're being controlled by their flesh, I just ask that you minister to them. This is a heart issue, Lord, and it takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to change a heart. No one can do it. No man. There's not a thing a doctor can do. But the Holy Spirit can reach in and take out a stony heart and put in back in one made of flesh that is full of love and the power of God. Today, Father God, I just thank you that you are touching your people in such a way. Stir us up, Lord. I want to be stirred. I want your people to be stirred. I want to rise up and be everything you want us to be. I want us to see, and the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful, and I want to see them in operation. But Father, I want them to operate according to the fruit of the Spirit. Let it be so, Father, in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about 2013 and what God is doing in and with the body of Christ. The world is in turmoil, but Jesus promised that he has overcome the world. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and he will direct our path. I pray this message will help you find God's path for your life. If you would like to know more about the ministry of Bethel Worship Center, visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.